Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'd love to welcome back one of my favorite returning guests. And I know I say that all the time, but doggone it, I really mean it. David Widener is one of my favorite guests because he brings really street stock market right there in it kind of perspective on what's going on in Wall Street and investing, and brings another perspective that I really like, and that is really an independent perspective, kind of almost a little rebellious, if you will, which I like, that rebel or willing to be the maverick and think about things a little differently and bring to perspective things that are happening in our world and politics and other things that, you know, has an impact on your investing. David started his career as a newspaper reporter back in 1988 with the Lawrence Observer, and then started covering Wall Street Journal 2003. Continues writing today, Market Watch columnist. Of course, you can go to marketwatch.com and check out of all of David's very good blogs and articles and columns. I guess those are all the same thing now, David. Welcome back, David. Good to be with you.
Well, Dave, my pleasure. Happy to be here.
Hey, listen, you are welcome anytime because You know, it's like what they say, miss a day, miss a lot. I miss one of your columns, and I'm like, wait a minute, I missed out. So listen, there's so much for you and I to talk about, and so let me tee it up for you. There's many we could get to, but of course, very conveniently, it's already, you know, Christmas is coming early. It's political season already, and we're not even close to the elections, but it's heating up. And of course, one of the questions and one of the things with your opinion piece that you wrote about was regarding the likely Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton, and asking the question, not really rhetorically, it's really a good question: can Hillary be trusted to watch Wall Street? And I guess the to back it up, the first question is the president to be, whoever that is to be, is that their job to watch Wall Street?
Well, David, different administrations have mm-hmm. different approaches to all of government. And I think in general, it's fair to say that Republican administrations generally are more
hands-off.
Hands off, free market.
Let market take care of itself.
Let things, yeah, you know, go on their own and give people free rein. And Democrats tend to be a little more careful and try to rein things in a little bit. Both views are certainly legitimate, and that's why we have a great balance. That's why we have. And the answer, of course, is probably somewhere in the middle.
And that's tricky.
To find that sweet spot is really hard.
Well, I'll give you the insider's perspective, David, for what it's worth. You know, these so-called self-regulatory organizations that are allowed to, to regulate brokers and advisors and to do these things, it doesn't always work out. I mean, this self-regulation does not necessarily hold all the cattle inside the fence, if you will, and that there needs to be some additional, that's, of course, the Securities and Exchange Commission, their charge. But so I think it's a good question.
Yeah. I think we all love the idea of self-regulation as a concept, an industry setting up an organization such as FINRA. That's the big one,
mm-hmm.
of course, for
sure,
for brokers. But at some point, there has to be a cop, and there mm-hmm. has to be a law behind everything, and to really deal with the wrongdoers. So and keep everybody in line and create rules of the road. So,
well, yeah, because if
what's your question for me, Dave?
Well, the question is, are we hearing? You know, there's always the words that are to be said when you're running for office, but are we getting any sense for, with the question you asked originally, can Hillary be trusted to watch Wall Street? And are you getting a sense for, at least at this point, that she can?
All right, well, let's just roll back a little bit. Look, we don't know who's going to end up mm-hmm. as the Republican nominee. We mm-hmm. have a lot of candidates, declared, undeclared.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I haven't declared yet. I mean, there's a lot.
We're waiting. But on the Democratic side, we pretty much have a presumptive nominee in Hillary Clinton. I mean, clear front runner, really no one is going to challenge her.
Unless she stumbles hard.
And, you know, she's pretty good at dealing with scandals anyway. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was good to take a look at, you know, her history in dealing with financial matters. And, I will say that her record is mixed.
Okay.
You know, she's somebody who's talked a good talk.
Right.
But when the rubber hits the road, she has not always aligned herself with what you could argue are consumer, investor. She's not been a big advocate for. She talked a little more populist than she has actually proceeded. I think the two areas, Dave, that are concerning is the financial influence of Wall Street in her political career, and the actual voting record, the actual changes in position, saying one thing and doing another. And while Hillary Clinton has been, you know, talked some tough talk in regard to, especially in the bailout, she was a senator at the time of the bailout. She had tough talk about that.
That's right.
And she had some good proposals. She wanted a moratorium on foreclosures. Well, which never happened and was talked about at the time, but she was a big proponent of that and introduced the bill.
Okay. Well, that's certainly being a champion for the home buyer.
That's right. But at the same time, she flip-flopped on bankruptcy law. She a very industry favorable banking industry favorable bill eventually passed, and she voted for an earlier version of that, and so there's some real questions about where her loyalty lies and where she will, if she will stand up. Look, she's not going to be Elizabeth Warren if elected. She's not going to be the biggest banking scourge in Washington. But I think there's real questions about how effective or how tough she will be in policing the street and picking, and of course that means picking a nominee to head the SEC,
right?
Picking a Treasury Secretary,
right?
And working with the Federal Reserve,
okay?
Which are the three main.
Those are the three big ones. Well, so
right. And the CFTC, which has grown in importance recently.
Definitely. Well, so you know, we don't have to go line by line on every vote, all of her history, but based on your research and review. You know, it's a mixed bag, and you know that's not surprising. You know, with a politician and somebody who you know, and again, you know, what you do and what you say are often can be very different, especially for politicians. Although everybody's probably guilty of that to some degree. So there's the jury is still out, if you will, that we'll have to see and how this plays out, and if she is the nominee, and then if she is elected. You know, there are obviously those big three or four appointments that you mentioned, David, and then, you know, being able to work, quote unquote, across the aisle. And you know, if you, quote unquote, piss everybody off, you know, it's a little hard to get some work done. We've seen presidents do that and alienate the other party completely and inexorably and finally and ultimately and done and not be able to get things done. So I think that's going to be part of, you know, if she is elected, that would make sense for that to be part of her strategy.
I would totally agree. I mean, this is not, we don't elect kings, we elect executives, and we also have Congress, and we also have very differing views of how government should be run. And, of course, and you're going to have to work with the other side. And so it's not as simple as, you know, saying I'm going to nominate the toughest SOB to run the SEC.
Right.
So, and look, Wall Street
They have power.
It's a legitimate interest in itself.
They have power. Let's not kid anybody here, David. They have a lot of power.
They have power, but I think also they also have legitimate things to say.
Right.
You know, we do live in a global environment, and global competition is a real thing. And American finance historically has been one of our greatest industries.
Mm-hmm. It's a big part of our economy.
There is something about preserving that. There is something about, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right. Right. Agreed.
That's my cliche for the day.
I like it. That's a good one. That's a good cliche. I mean, you know, and you don't use that many, so that's good. You're entitled to at least one.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
If you're just joining us, David Widener is my guest. Good guy. Fun to talk to and very insightful about what's happening on Wall Street. MarketWatch.com is the website. You can check out David's columns there. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a trustworthy local advisor for your investment and retirement planning, but you're not sure how or where to begin? Start by looking for a certified financial planner practitioner. Visit www.cfp.net to search for an advisor in your local area who's earned this highly regarded professional certification. Pick 3 CFP practitioners. Set an appointment and interview them. Ask questions. Listen carefully to their answers. Check references and research their firms with the Better Business Bureau. This PSA is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Hey, welcome back. We've got David Widener on the line, and David and I are just hanging out, chit-chatting, talking about what's going on in the world, and enjoy doing that with him. MarketWatch.com. You can get a lot of David's work there, which is very good stuff. So that's kind of a little bow around the question of whether Hillary can be trusted to watch Wall Street. We will find out, and we'll keep tabs on how things unravel or unveil or build. And before we leave the political scene, would you like to make any predictions, David? For the we obviously know who we expect to be on the Democratic side. Any predictions for the Republican side?
I just think, unfortunately, we're on another Clinton-Bush crash. They're going to end up in the end facing off. If only because the Bushes just know how to, run a campaign, and when you have that much resources and experience in a family, I just think that that's the team that's most likely to make a misstep. They're good at, running in a nice moderate middle of the road, win independent voters. His record in Florida obviously is going to help him, and to carry that state will be critical. So I think that think that's going to be our lineup. But that's just from this point. Don't hold me to it. don't come back to me unless I get it right. At which, at which point I want you to definitely point that out.
Yeah, we save all the programs, David. So we'll. Well, okay, and if you dare, I think I already know the answer. But if it is Bush, and if he were to win the general election, would we have a similar take on him in terms of his? He's not been a senator, and he's not acted in the same realm that Hillary's has, but would he also portend of and be maybe more of a in that middle, not a hard overseer, and also not completely lax on the, quote-unquote, keeping an eye on Wall Street?
Well, obviously, he's a bigger question mark because he hasn't run a national campaign or even run a campaign to get to go to Washington.
Right.
On the other hand, Bush, look, Wall Street money is the biggest money out there in campaigns. I know people talk about the Koch brothers and all kinds of things like that, but when you talk about lobbying and direct contributions, Wall Street, banking, finance, that's the biggest industry, and then defense. Industry is right up there, and so these people have already been influenced by this stuff. Jeb Bush, he's not. Look, I think everybody after the last 8 or so years is going to be Nobody's going to make the mistake of running and saying we need a Wall Street that can take more risks. That's not going to be anybody's campaign slogan.
Right.
But I think we'll see tough rhetoric from him, because that's basically what people feel right now.
Right.
And,
sure.
But I have no way of knowing what a guy like Jeb Bush is going to do when he. And, he's gonna operate under the same forces we talked about a Clinton presidency would. And that is basically that, he's gonna have to work with the other side too.
Right.
And, we talk about these big differences in the parties, but when push comes to shove in Washington, we usually end up with people that we could almost pick ourselves, because they're so obvious. You get people like Mary Jo White, the head of the SEC, who has some experience but has worked on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You get people who are pretty safe picks in the end.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be any radical overhaul.
Any rebel rousers.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Especially at this stage in the game when the markets are pretty stable and there's not the pain that we had, say, in 2008 that Barack Obama was elected in.
I say we give you a big stick, David, and send you down there.
Oh, you know what? That's the last thing I would want. I'm much better sitting on the outside provoking people.
Yes. You're really good with your sniper rifle, I would add. Thank you. Well, speaking of sniper rifles, and maybe another great opinion piece that you wrote about, one to put in your sights is how Ben Bernanke let down America, bold title. And it kind of plays into what we just talked about of the everyday person's sentiment or feelings or opinion about Wall Street, because of the very nature of, regulators or folks in authority or in a public position or role. Policymakers who then end up later, when they have finished their public quote unquote service, they end up in a rather comfortable role at a private company that may or may not have benefited from what they particularly did while they were in that position.
Yeah, basically what we're talking about, David, is the revolving door.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about Ben Bernanke and Timothy Geithner and
right.
Gary Lynch, who went. Who was a top prosecutor at the SEC and went to our enforcement guy, and he went to Morgan Stanley. You know, this is a small, cozy world where people move from the public sector to the private sector. In this case, I bring up Ben Bernanke, and his case is not even that terribly.
Yeah, compared to others, it's pretty
awful.
Mild, right?
But he is joining PIMCO, which is the biggest bond fund,
mm-hmm.
or bond trading, one of the biggest bond trading companies, investment companies out there.
On the
and
planet.
And they deal with an enormous amount of U.S. securities.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the chairman of the Federal Reserve. Here's the thing. we talk about these people go and they say, well, there's going to be limits and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem with this is not so much that anybody is doing true quid pro quo, or that
just looks bad.
It looks bad, and I think the other problem is actually a little more tangible problem, and that is access. When Ben Bernanke is working for PIMCO, and he discusses, he's still in contact with people at the Fed. This
sure.
is, these people don't, they don't have their phones still can.
He's got their number.
Officials. I mean,
he's got their
these
number.
People are still very much in contact. So you have this access issue,
mm-hmm.
where influential people are accessing influential people, and they have new masters. They have new roles, and I think this creates a problematic relationship process
mm-hmm.
or series of relationships where these people are working for different masters, and I think it's very difficult when Ben Bernanke speaks with a Fed official and says something, maybe or or information is shared it looks bad. And I don't have that access.
No, we don't. Well, you know what it is, David? I'll tell you the way as you describe that, what kind of comes into my mind is we have this...
I didn't describe it well. Please help me out, David.
No, you did just fine. The thing that pops into my mind was like a regulatory structure that's in place. We have structure. We have guardrails. We have all these systems and doors and locks and things that are used to really have an orderly system. And then you have this incredible... it's like in the Matrix where the key maker has this key that goes and can unlock all the back doors. I mean, you know, it's walking through back doors without having to go through all the normal proper channels. And that's the thing I think that drives the everyday consumer or investor crazy. And I hear about this all the time is how do we effectively do well with our investments when the house or the cards are stacked against us?
Yeah,
the little guy just doesn't. Yeah, that's it.
I mentioned this editorial that appeared on the opinion page of the Wall Street Journal not too long ago, and as I say, you know, the opinion page of the Wall Street Journal is not exactly a place where they're going to call for more rules and regulations.
Right.
You don't see that there very often, and these two professors, political and business professors from California, basically they said this is getting out of hand, and they had some really interesting proposals, and that was, you know, 5-year moratorium.
Yeah, why not?
In the finance industry,
couldn't Bill Bernanke get another job?
Greater oversight and more transparency around these relationships. You know, right. Ben Bernanke isn't disclosing how much he's getting paid.
Right. Sure. That would be my first thing I would like. Not just a moratorium, but. Even if you do go to work for a company sooner than 5 years, which I think would be good, but let's say that's not realistic. At the very least, because of the position they held, they should have to disclose the nature of the relationship and the compensation they're getting. And I think that would illuminate a lot on this issue, David.
And that's a critical thing. You know, we've seen that transparency doesn't necessarily fix it everything. You know?
No, but it doesn't hurt.
But it's a great first step, right? So,
yeah.
And transparency does actually. I mean, we've been alerted to a lot of things because they showed up in regulatory filings, and we,
mm-hmm.
You know, this is just a matter of a system, you know, an old boys club system that basically doesn't want to be disrupted,
right?
And you know, you're. I think part of the problem is that we're expecting another old boys club, and that is Congress, to shake up this old boys club, and that's not likely. I mean, once you're in power, it's very easy to stand on the outside of being in power and say, you know, this is wrong, this looks terrible, and that sort of thing. But once you get in that position and you see how it works and you see the benefit that you get, you're getting.
Yeah,
I think it's very difficult to be in there and be a force for change.
You get in there and say this isn't so bad.
A very thick skin.
Yeah,
and a lot of that's a lonely place to be.
Yeah, you get in, you say, oh, this isn't so bad. All right, quick break with David Widener, a MarketWatch columnist, MarketWatch.com. We'll be right back.
Does getting financial advice seem like a game of cat and mouse? Maybe it's time to hire a fiduciary. A financial professional who puts the needs of his clients ahead of his own. A fiduciary also means an advisor should recommend products and services he believes will best serve his clients' needs, not what an insurance company or investment company tells him he has to sell. Next time you're talking to an advisor, ask him, are you a fiduciary? Yes or no? If the advisor doesn't know, then the answer's probably no. This public service announcement is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we're back. David Widener on the line, MarketWatch columnist. The writing on the wall. MarketWatch.com. Hey, I've got, you know, one other thing, David, that I just would love. I know you're going to hit this like a, you know, a big softball, but so here, wind up, here it comes. The thing that really is cozy about these Wall Street relationships, and it's in the boardroom, the thing that always, you know, and again, this is It's no different than you talked about Congress and how comfy these positions can be. Is there are these intertwining, interrelated board positions where, you know, the CEO of one company sits on the board of another company, and then another CEO sits on the board of that one, and it's all these. It's, you know, it's almost incestuous how these various the good old boy club, they all sit on each other's boards.
I tell you, there's probably 100 executives who can you do not have to go very far to become a conspiracy theorist.
Sure.
And there's probably 100 executives out there that we talk about 6 degrees of separation with Will Smith. I mean, the interconnectedness of executives on corporate boards, compensation committees, we wonder why executive compensation will not quit rising.
That's why. Because they're all, it's the chicken, what do they have? The cliche is the fox guarding the chicken house. So I mean, that's the issue.
I use my cliche today, David.
Okay.
But you're absolutely right. This is these guys are taking care of each other, and why not? And really, why not?
Well, when 99% of the stock of a company is held by institutional investors and it's held by a mutual fund, and
passive.
Exactly.
Completely passive.
Well, I tell you what, David, we are out of time again. We'll have you back again with continued insightful analysis and keeping your nose right there down on the street. David Widener, ladies and gentlemen, marketwatch.com. And check it out. Good stuff, David. You're always great. Good to have on.
Well, David, thank you very much. My pleasure.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.